Your Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells us, I am the vine and you are the branches. And there are really three issues that are raised by our text today. One of them is, what does it mean to be connected to the vine? How do we stay connected as branches to the vine? The second issue is, what does it mean to bear much fruit? Jesus says, those who are in me, those who are connected to me, bear much fruit. And the third issue, which we don't really like to hear much, is he prunes those who are a part of him so that they might bear more fruit. Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you think about staying connected to the vine, at least for me, is those spiritual disciplines that we have. Baptism. You know, we've been going through the seven habits of Jesus, and one of those is remembering your baptism, you know, as a way to claim who you are, to have your identity in Christ. And so part of staying connected to Christ is remembering that event where we were connected to him through our baptism. And so in baptism, we're connected to Christ and to celebrate that as who we are as people, to remember it. Today we've got Holy Communion. We eat and drink the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Another way we stay connected to God, we encounter no less than God himself as we celebrate Holy Communion. Or the way we stay connected to other people, to talk. And what is prayer but talking to God and then being quiet enough to listen for God's guidance as it comes back to us in meditation. So all of those are ways that we stay connected to God, the vine and the branches. But what I found interesting is Jesus doesn't talk about any of those as what it means to stay connected to him. And if we go on two more verses than where our text stopped, Jesus says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. So Jesus is telling us there may be it's good to have all of these spiritual disciplines, but the true test of abiding in him is, do we follow his command to love one another? Because that's the sign, more than anything else, that if his love is flowing into us and then flowing out of us, it's just like in a vine, as the energy comes all the way from the roots and through the vine and into the branches. So we need that flowing in us and then through us. And Jesus says, you want to stay connected to me, ask yourself, are you loving? Are you following my command? Is my love flowing not only into you, but through you to others? And so that's what Jesus says. You'll abide in me as you follow my command to love one another. And the truth is, in that way, not only do we experience God's love, but then we are able to send that love out to others. So as we are loving in the world, others around us can begin to experience God's love. Unfortunately, the world out there doesn't see us and doesn't see God as a God of love. You know, in recent surveys, when non-church people have been asked to describe the church, the two words that show up at the top of the list on those surveys are judgmental and self-righteous. That's how the world views us. That's not how we view ourselves, but that's how the world views us. You know, too often you see those signs, and that's what gets in the media, those hate signs, and so people then project that on to everybody. And so we have our work cut out for us because that's how the world sees us. And Jesus says, I want to be love. And as you follow that command to love one another, you'll stay connected to me. And that's how the world is going to discover that our God really is a loving Savior as we have known him to be. So we stay connected to him in love. And then the second point is that if we're connected to him, we will bear much fruit. I love that. Jesus doesn't say, stay connected to me and you ought to bear good fruit. Stay connected and you should bear fruit. He just says, when you are connected to me, you will bear fruit. Because if love is a part of who you are, if that's who God is, and you're connected to the one who is love, you will bear fruits of love. And so it's important that we don't say, oh, I ought to be, I should be doing things. What we need more than anything else is just stay connected to our source. Stay connected to the God who is love. And Jesus says, when you are connected to me, then you will bear fruit. It's just a natural consequence that flows out. So we're not trying to, in our own power, in our own energy, be loving. No, Jesus says, just stay connected to me. And the fruit will happen. Just stay connected to me and my love for you, and the love will then begin to flow out to others. And so that's key for us, to bear fruit. Who is it that we're connected to? We're connected to the God who forgives us, connected to the God who loves us, connected to the God who promises eternal salvation, not to those who earn it, but to all those who simply turn to him. We're connected to the God who gave his life for us on the cross. And when we're connected to that one, that becomes the power then to love and to bear fruit in our lives. You know, I could think about the last 2 weekends we've had work parties here at the church, and that reflects some of the love we try to put out into our community, the Ship House, and a whole group of people that came out and chopped down bushes and spruced up the outside, built a fence, spent an entire Saturday there, not for themselves, but for an outreach program to help the homeless. And that is bearing fruit of love so that our community can see the love of Christ is concern for those who don't have as much, who need to move from homelessness back to get back on their feet. Or yesterday, we've got, if you look way up, we've got lights way up. Well, we had members who were on very tall ladders yesterday. Paul Schrempf and Will Fleming both here today. We shouldn't let you do that. You realize that. I mean, I think if we told our insurance company, I think our liability insurance would go way up. But that's a labor of love, folks, to climb up ladders and change light bulbs. You don't think, that doesn't sound very spiritual. But what does God say? If you love, if you give, that's a sign that you're bearing fruit, and that's signs of fruit. I was wonderful talking with Larry this morning when he came in this morning about Compassion International. Our congregation adopted 9 new Compassion International children last week. That's incredible. Members already are supporting over 100 children, and you add another 10% on top of that. And you go, that's being connected to Jesus, folks. When you take his love and you share it with some child who's getting to know Jesus and who's being cared for in third world countries, yeah, we're connected. We're well connected as we express that love. And you know, later today we're going to have a legacy workshop. And you know, the probably the greatest way we bear fruit is, you know, we work a lifetime, you know, putting an estate together, and that has the greatest potential to make changes than anything else we do during our lives. Is taking a tithe of our estate and using it to support the work of the church. And we've seen how that's done. We've had the LACA scholarship here. Hundreds of our youth have received scholarships to help go to college. Why? Because a family took a portion of their estate and set it aside to help kids go to college. Or the Vogels, who set aside the Faith Foundation, and 2 of our young men, Matt Anderson and Andrew Kitsick, had their tuition paid for a semester in seminary as a gift through a generous gift. And we're in the process of getting a new church organ, and that's from Evelyn Price, and from her estate. The vast majority of the cost of that organ will come through her, and so this church will have beautiful music for years to come because somebody decided, I'm going to take some of the fruits that I've got and pass it on to do the work of God in the community. And so we see it happens in big things like estates. It happens when somebody climbs a ladder to change a light bulb. It happens when somebody adopts a child and says, I'm going to make that one child's life better. When we're connected to Jesus, those are the types of things that flow through us, connected to his love. We don't have to work hard at it. The more we're connected to his love, it flows out to others, that we might, as Jesus says, you love one another as I have loved you. He loved us first. He loved us most. And now he says, stay connected to that, and you will bear much fruit. But the third aspect of our text, Jesus says he prunes those who are connected to him so they'll bear much fruit. We don't like to hear that passage. I don't like to think that I'm going to suffer, be cut back in order that I might bear more fruit. But if you read the Bible, it happened to all of the key saints. All of God's people went through suffering, and from it they drew even stronger and closer to God. You know, the classic example of that is Job. You know, Job was God's favorite man on earth, his favorite man on earth. And what happened to Job? He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. And he's his favorite? How did that happen? But out of the time of suffering, even at one point when Job said, I wish I'd never been born, out of that he drew close to God again, even closer than he had ever been, and God lifted him back up. Or King David. You know, God anoints him as a young boy, a shepherd boy, and says, you're going to be king one day. Did that mean David's life was easy from that day on? No, when he went into the court with King Saul, he feared for his life. Several times, Saul tried to kill him. He was afraid for his life. Later, after he became king, his own son rebelled against him, and he had to flee Jerusalem or be captured by his son's troops. David in the Psalms writes, you know, I wet my pillow with my tears day in and day out. Here's a man that knew a lot of sorrow and knew struggle. And yet through all of that, he was a man who had a heart after God. And he then wrote all those beautiful Psalms praising God for his goodness and loving, tender care. And so God pruned him, and yet he bore more fruit. Or think of St. Paul, greatest missionary we've ever had. And St. Paul had an ailment. We don't know it. He called it a thorn in his flesh. We think it had something to do with his eyesight. We're not sure. But he says, three times I prayed to God earnestly, let me be healed. God did not heal Paul. But in the end, Paul said, what I learned from God was my grace is sufficient. And it made him lean on the grace of God, and from that he bore even more fruit. So when you look at the scriptures and you see the suffering and the struggle of the great saints of the scriptures, we realize that's going to happen in our lives too. It doesn't mean God has abandoned us. It doesn't mean God doesn't care for us. He prunes those who are connected to him so that they can bear even more fruit. Now, an interesting part of this passage is also Martin Luther talks about what does it mean to bear fruit? What does it mean to be blessed by God? And I love this quote from him. It says, the world lets itself be deceived that wealth is the unfailing indication of God's favor. This sort of deduction is utter nonsense. God has given us a far greater blessing from which we may draw a better conclusion. He gives us faith as a free gift of his grace. Faith is the best indicator that we have been blessed by God. So often we think, I'm blessed by God because of the things that I have. But what is it that's the greatest blessing to you? It's your faith. It's knowing that right here and right now you are loved by God. Right here and right now, when you confess your sins, God forgives you and, like the prodigal father, welcomes you with open arms. Right now, you know that you have eternal salvation. There's no question about it. God has promised it to you. It's yours through your faith in his grace. Now, is there a greater blessing that any one of us could have than that? Our wealth will come and go. Our health will come and go. But the greatest blessing is faith. And that's what God pours out upon us. And to create faith so that we might bear greater fruit, God sometimes prunes us back, not because he doesn't care for us, but precisely because he does love us. Just as a parent often disciplines a child, not because they don't love that child, but it's because they love them that they want them to grow. Now, an interesting part of this text is the word for pruning also is the word for cleansing or cleaning. And I was reading in a book the other day about a Christian vine grower, and he was saying that when you have a vineyard, the weaker branches often fall close to the ground, and when you have the sprinklers running and you have a dusty, dirty vineyard, it's those lower branches that get dirt, dust, and mud on them, get mildew, and will die. And he says, rather than pruning those branches off, what a vine grower will do is will go through the vineyard with water and a rag and literally wipe off the leaves of those lower branches and then tie them back up into the midst of the rest of the branches. And when they're cleaned, that's when they'll grow and bear fruit. So Jesus, in the play on words here, I think is not only do we grow through the hard times of suffering, but sometimes when we just need to be nurtured, God doesn't just simply cut us and throw us in the fire. No, he cleans us. He nurtures us. And I love the imagery of that lower vine that's put back in with the other vines. One of the other things we need to when we're suffering is to be here with the other branches. We need each other. And just like that lower branch, when it's struggling, it needs to be cleaned by the love of God and then put back in among the branches so it may grow and bear greater fruit. And so that's the imagery of this text as well. Pruning sometimes is painful as we go through struggles that we may come out of it leaning on God that much more, but sometimes it's not so much pruning as it is cleansing, of being nurtured, of cared for, so that we can get back on our feet and know the love of God in our lives. So whether God prunes us or whether he cleanses us, God is always working for our good. And so God wants us to turn to him, abide in him, that we may be connected to his love forever. Because he is the vine and we are the branches. And in him, we will bear much fruit. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, you are the source of blessing in this world. Sometimes we get distracted and need to be refocused again. We think of all the material things around us when our greatest gift is you, your love, your grace, your salvation. Lord, thank you that your love flows to us. And Lord, may it flow through us as well. Amen.